Acts 15:18. Known unto God for all his works from the beginning of the world. Acts 15:18. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. Jeremiah 16:17. For mine eyes are upon the ways of man, and I see all his steps. Jeremiah 16:17. Psalm 145:8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Psalm 145:8. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to Jeremiah 20:9. Jeremiah 20:9. We're also going to be looking at the first chapter of Jeremiah, so if you'll turn also to Jeremiah 1, we'll begin reading with verse 4 in just a few moments. We spend a moment in prayer tonight before we begin our study, realizing the importance of being properly related to the Lord as we study His Word. God has been so good to all of us. He's given to us the grace system of comprehension, which simply means that when we're in harmony and fellowship with Him, He gives us the ability to comprehend spiritual truths. It's very important that we spend these moments in prayer to be sure that our hearts are right with our Lord before we begin our study tonight. May we pray together, please. Father, we bow with grateful hearts this evening, thanking you again for the fact that we are saved by your matchless grace, that we have been privileged to have some time on this earth. You've given us blessings every single day, and we express our thanks tonight for the fact that we are your children, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home. We've been given this magnificent time to advance spiritually. That's why we're here again this evening, to focus our minds upon eternal truths, spiritual fuel for our souls. We pray that you will help us each and every day, that we might understand the importance of living our lives in accordance with your design. We thank you that you've given to us this magnificent book, the Word of God, that we have the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We've been blessed logistically in so many ways. And so we bow tonight again to express our thanks, just to say we thank you over and over again for your matchless love. We ask that you'll be with us in these moments of study, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the 20th chapter of Jeremiah, verse 9, we find a very interesting, powerful verse of Scripture. But if I say I will not remember him or speak any more in his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in, and I cannot endure it. All of us are fully aware of the fact that Jeremiah's life was not a life of ease. He had many, many difficulties and problems along the way. I believe it's good for us to be able to study this book because it encourages us to find ourselves properly related to the Lord no matter what the circumstances are. When we go to Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1, we read, "Oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." I would encourage you to write these verses down. We're going to be sharing a number of verses with you this evening. Jeremiah, God's man. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, which we just read. And now chapter 9, verse 1. Oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. You will see that we have on the screen also the verse which we just gave you in Jeremiah 20, verse 9. In my heart it becomes like a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I'm weary of holding it in. I cannot endure it. Would you look with me, please, at the first chapter of Jeremiah, looking at verse 4 and following. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, because I'm a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. There's no doubt in any of our minds tonight that Jeremiah was God's man. Jeremiah spoke God's words. Jeremiah cries out many times, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. It's amazing to me, if you'll turn through the pages of Jeremiah, you'll hear that cry over and over again. He cries out many times, thus saith the Lord. Once he even added, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. All of us are aware of the fact that this magnificent book abounds in many golden passages. You may want to take these down this evening. Jeremiah 6:16, thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. I pause for a moment to let you see that verse of Scripture. Jeremiah 6:16, thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. And you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that it is discouraging to a minister when people are not interested in the Word of God. My heart always is thrilled when I understand that there are members of this congregation who are extremely interested in daily study of the wonderful Word of God. Jeremiah didn't have it that way. Thus says the Lord in Jeremiah 6:16, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is, and walk in it. And you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, thus says the Lord, let not a man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches. Then verse 24, but let him who boasts, boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. I didn't finish that verse for you to see on the screen, but I want you to be able to see again Jeremiah 9:24. But let him who boasts, boast of this, that he understands and knows me. There are two great words there. You can see them. If we have anything about which to boast, it is that we understand and we know the Lord. That I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, for I delight in these things, declares the Lord. Then you'll notice I have on the screen Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 10 through 13. I've given myself some instructions, so I'll need to follow my instructions. In Jeremiah chapter 10, if you'll turn to that passage, let's begin our reading with verse 10. Jeremiah 10 and verse 10. What does it say? For the mountains I will take up a weeping and wailing. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 10 and 12 and 13. Let me go back and find it. Jeremiah 10, 10. But the Lord is the true God. He's the living God and the everlasting King. At His wrath the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure His indignation. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 11. Thus you shall say to them, the gods that did not make the heavens, and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under the heavens. Verse 12. It is He who made the earth by His power, who established the world by His wisdom, and by His understanding He has stretched out the heavens. Verse 13. When He utters His voice, there is a tumult of waters in the heavens. He causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain and brings out the wind from His storehouse. If you'll look, please, you'll notice that the next passage on the screen is Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man whose trust is the Lord. Then verse 8, for he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaves will be green. It will not be anxious in a year of drought nor cease to yield fruit. Again, you'll notice that we have another passage for you to turn through. And I'm turning so that you can turn, take time to look at chapter 18. We'll begin reading in a few moments with verse 1 and read the first 6 verses. Jeremiah 18. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I shall announce my words to you. Verse 3, then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel. But the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So he made it into another vessel, as it pleased the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as the potter does? Declares the Lord. Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. What is so interesting, when you read chapter 18, verses 1 through 6, you will discover that you and I have the responsibility of being like that clay in the potter's hand. He is in the process and desires to mold us according to His purpose and His plan. You've already seen this, but Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. But if I say, I will not remember him or speak any more in his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I'm weary of holding it in. I cannot endure it. The reason why I want you to see this verse over and over again, we find that Jeremiah had something burning inside of him, and that is his relationship to the Lord God and the desire that he had to communicate the message of God. That's beautifully presented to us in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. Chapter 22, verse 29. O land, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Isn't it interesting? Can't you feel the heartbeat of this prophet of God? O land, 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 hear the word of the Lord. This is the way it feels in my heart sometimes when I stand here and look out over this congregation. I'm simply saying, O land, land, land. I could be saying, O people, people, hear the word of the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5. Behold, the day is coming, declares the Lord, when I shall raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. In just a few sessions back, we talked about this, and now in the future, we shall look again at this magnificent passage of Scripture, understanding that God is putting things together in such a magnificent way that there will come a time when the church will be taken out, which is referred to as the rapture. We have an emphasis upon the fact that there are 7 years of tribulation. Then we understand that there's a 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, beautifully presented in this passage of Scripture. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I shall raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. Verse 6 then, in his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely, and this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ appears many times in the book of Jeremiah. The virgin birth is presented in chapter 31, verse 22. We'll not repeat all of these verses. We've seen it many, many times, but the virgin conception, the virgin birth is presented in chapter 31, verse 22. How long will you go here and there, O faithless daughter? It's interesting to see the rest of that verse, where it says, the Lord has created a new thing in the earth. Look at it carefully. A woman will encompass a man. We see our Lord's future kingdom in chapters 31 and 33. We see the presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it is like apples of gold in pictures of silver, in Proverbs 25, verse 11. Most of you have been able to see with me, and I've looked at this with you, but I want you to see again that Jeremiah is presented in the Word of God as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah weeps over his people. In chapter 8, verse 20, harvest is past. Summer is ended. We're not saved. For the brokenness of the daughter of my people, I am broken. I mourn. Dismay has taken hold of me. If you do not have that verse down, you ought to write it somewhere. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20. Harvest is past. Summer is ended. We're not saved. For the brokenness of the daughter of my people, I am broken. I mourn. Dismay has taken hold of me. And then most of us remember this in Jeremiah 8:22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has not the health of the daughter of my people been restored? How we see here Jeremiah weeping for his people. There are cross references. I want you to see these. Jeremiah 4:19. My soul, I am in anguish. Oh, my heart is pounding in me. I cannot be silent, because you've heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. These are cross references that I want you to be able to see. Notice Jeremiah 4:19. Hear the heartbeat of Jeremiah. My soul, I'm in anguish. Oh, my heart is pounding in me. I cannot be silent, because you've heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Jeremiah 8:20, we repeat, harvest is past, summer is ended, and we're not saved. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1, oh, that my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. These are verses that we're repeating. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 2. Judah mourns and her gates languish. They sit on the ground in mourning, and the cry of Jerusalem has ascended. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 17. You will say this word to them, let my eyes flow down with tears night and day, and let them not cease. For the virgin daughter of my people has been crushed with a mighty blow, with a sorely infected wound. That's Jeremiah 14:17. What am I doing tonight? I'm reading the scripture to you. What am I doing this evening? I'm letting you see that if you want to get the heartbeat of the prophet Jeremiah, you look at these many verses and you will discover that he was a man of tears, the weeping prophet Jeremiah. You will say this word to them, "Let my eyes flow down with tears, not only in the daytime, but night and day. And let them not cease, for the virgin daughter of my people has been crushed with a mighty blow, with a sorely infected wound." Then you go to the book of Joel, and you'll read in chapter 2, verse 6, "Before them the people are in anguish. All faces turn pale." A few moments ago, I asked you to go to the first chapter. I wanted you to be able to see with me that we begin reading with verse 4. And I have you turn back to that passage now. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying..." And then the Lord said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Could I stop for a moment and tell you that before you were formed in the womb, God knew you? This is good for you to remember. Be aware of the fact that your existence is not an accident. We've said this many, many times. If you'll notice, it says here, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Then notice the next part of that verse. "And before you were born, I consecrated you." We pause for a moment to say that God has a reason and a purpose for your existence. He wants us here because he has a purpose for us being here. I believe we can see that so beautifully in the life of prophet Jeremiah. We discover that the scripture says, "And before you were born, I consecrated you. I set you apart. I had a very purpose and a reason for your being here." And so we have in the Hebrew language the not yet one. In other words, before you were born, you were not yet. And so he was saying, in essence, to Jeremiah, before you were born, before you were not yet, I had a reason and a purpose for you being born. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have a reason and a desire and a plan for your life. And I pause for a moment to tell you this evening that you may not think you're worth all that much, but I promise you this, God has put you here because he has a reason for your being here. Now, a bit of a review. Some of you, I know, will remember every word I said some weeks ago, but I thought maybe there was one or two of you that would not remember what I said. And so as a result of that, I will say this again. In the two books penned by the Holy Spirit, using the hand of Jeremiah, that's Jeremiah and the book of Lamentations. We'll be studying the book of Lamentations in a few weeks, but I just wanted you to see that in the two books penned by the Holy Spirit, using the hand of Jeremiah and Lamentations, we see a young man call from the obscurity of his native town, Anathoth, only 3 or 5 miles from Jerusalem, at a critical time in the nation's life, to the overwhelming responsibilities of being a prophet. His dad, Hilkiah, was a priest who could have been the priest of 2 Kings 22, not sure, who brought the book of the law to the observance of King Josiah, which started a great revival in the kingdom. No doubt, Jeremiah's early life reveals that he had a strong religious impact. The text that I just read to you presents to us the fact that oftentimes God chooses unlikely instruments to do his work. I pause for a moment to let you see what I just said. Oftentimes God chooses unlikely instruments to do his work. Many times he will take the bashful. He will take the shrinking individual, the quiet individual, the sensitive type individual, to accomplish what he seems to be an impossible, hopeless mission. You'll notice as you read through this first chapter that immediately Jeremiah begins to make excuse. And that's the way it is with many of us. I started to say many of you, but I decided I better include myself. I realized very well at the age of 16, when I knew that God was dealing with me in a very special way, I considered the fact that my brother would be a much better minister than myself. He was nicer looking, I thought. He was tall, dark, and handsome, and I happened to be not quite that way. And so I want you to know that I concluded that somehow the Lord got us mixed up, and the Lord's calling was for him and not for me. But when I think about Jeremiah here, I notice he's saying the same thing. God says, do not say I'm a child. God said, you will go where I send you. God said, whatever I say to you to say, you're to say it. Do you notice what God said to Jeremiah when Jeremiah began to make all these excuses? And then it's something else that I noticed that God said. God said, don't be afraid of their hardened faces, for I am with you to deliver you. This is telling Jeremiah before it's going to happen that he's going to be facing individuals whose faces are going to be unpleasant to behold. Now, I want you to know that that's not true with me, because when I look at you, basically I see very pleasant faces. And sometimes I see other things, but I'm not going to discuss that now. God said, don't be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you. This is what a prophet is. One who tells what God says. That's what a preacher is, or should be. That's what a prophet is. Jeremiah was the 9th prophet who prophesied to the southern kingdom of Judah before the exile and during the trying days of captivity. You may remember that I told you that he saw 5 kings upon the throne of Judah. There was Josiah, Jehoaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. I realize that you were taking very good notes back there, and you've looked those notes over time and time again over the last weeks, and this is all just so familiar to you. I realize that. Is that tongue-in-cheek? Is that being a little bit sarcastic? Oh, I would never be a sarcastic. Anyway, he saw 5 kings upon the throne of Judah. Josiah, you remember anything about Josiah? We talked about him. Out of all these kings, Josiah was the very best of them. Josiah, Jehoaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. Please, please, please note, Jeremiah's dad was a priest. But God had something better for Jeremiah than to spend his life as a priest serving altars. He was to be a prophet of the Lord in this most trying hour in the history of God's chosen people. I want you to see again what I tried to get over a few weeks ago, that there was not anything particularly wrong with what Jeremiah's dad was doing, of course. But Jeremiah's dad, being a priest, God had something for Jeremiah was better for him than to spend his life as a priest serving altars. He was to be a prophet of the Lord in the most trying hour in the history of God's chosen people. This man, unlike many of the prophets, has much to say about himself. Let's look at these for a few moments. Number one, he tells us that he was a priest by birth. Chapter 1, verse 5. And I told you that that's the word from the Hebrew, not yet. Secondly, he was called of the Lord to be a prophet at a very young age. This is found in verse 6 of the first chapter. Number 3, he's referred to himself as young and inexperienced and had lack of eloquence in chapter 1, verse 6. Is this any reason for not obeying God's call? Perhaps there's someone in this auditorium tonight God is dealing with your life. And you have all these little excuses that you've been giving. And you're saying, I'm not eloquent, I'm bashful, I'm timid, I'm shy. I don't know what all you may be saying. He was called of the Lord to be a prophet at a very young age. He referred to himself as young and inexperienced and had a lack of eloquence. Is this any reason for not obeying God's call? Number four, he was assured that the calling was from God and it came even before he was born. You're saying, well, you're repeating yourself. Yes, I am. In verse 5 of chapter 1, the Lord says, I want you to understand that you're here on purpose. You're here for a reason. I put you here. I knew about you long before you were even born. And I consecrated you before you were born. He was assured that the calling was from God. And it came before he was born. Number 5. When you go to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 10, it says, we're created unto good works before God even laid the foundation of the world. You need to think of yourself as having been created unto good works before God even laid the foundation of the world, which simply means that he has a plan for each one of our lives. And then right here, I instruct myself again to remind you to see that in verses 1 through 8 of chapter 1, and we've read part of it tonight, God has a purpose and a plan for individuals' lives. Number 6, Jeremiah was not allowed to marry because of God's specific plan. If you want to know about where that's found, it's chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. You might want to write that one down. Look it up. Jeremiah was not allowed to marry because of God's specific plan for him. Number 7, Jeremiah prophesied during the time when Israel had been taken into captivity and Judah was in her declining days. Number 8, he was called to be a prophet in the 13th year of the reign of King Josiah. This is found in the second verse of chapter 1. He was called to be a prophet in the 13th year of the reign of King Josiah. Number 9. No doubt, his early ministry and that of the prophet Zephaniah were among the influences that led to the reforms under the young King Josiah. You might need to notice that I'm putting down here something. His early ministry and the ministry of Prophet Zephaniah were among the influences that led to the reforms under the young King Josiah. Number 10. Jeremiah prophesied for more than 40 years. I'm always amazed when I see that. And I think in terms of the fact that we've been moving along in this fellowship more than 40 years. Jeremiah prophesied for more than 40 years. He began his ministry 60 years after the death of Isaiah, the great evangelical prophet. Can I repeat that? Jeremiah prophesied for more than 40 years. He began his ministry 60 years after the death of Isaiah, the great evangelical prophet. 2 more points. Jeremiah was contemporary with the prophetess Huldah and Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, and perhaps even Nahum. I don't even know how familiar you are with these individuals, but it would be well for you to write these names down and take a look at each one of the lives of these individuals. Number 12, his message was never a popular message. Now that, I don't know what that does to you. But I want you to see that when we look at the life of Jeremiah and we find him as this weeping prophet and we find him having faced all kinds of difficulties, we've seen him in various situations where he was thrown in the depth of a dungeon and we see him mistreated and abused in various places. His message was never a popular one. Even many times, his life being endangered. We see that in chapter 26, 7 through 16. I trust that our review tonight and the new emphasis that we gave you will remind you of the importance of God's plan for your individual life. You're here because God wants you to be here. You're here at this particular age, at this particular time in history, because God wanted you to be here at this particular time. Some of you are older. Some of us are older. God has put us here for this particular time. God has put you here for this particular time in your life. So you have the responsibility of knowing on a moment-by-moment, day-by-day basis, the will of God for your individual life. The only way you'll be able to know God's plan is, first of all, know Him personally as your Savior, which you do, I believe, and then to know Him by knowing His mind, His thinking. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You and I, no one can do this for you, yourself. You're it. You have the responsibility, as I have the responsibility, of knowing God's individual plan for my individual life. And He does have a plan for us. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we realize again this evening that we're living now because You've allowed us to be here. We do not know exactly how long our lives will be on this earth, but we know that as long as we're here, You have a reason and a purpose for our existence. For every person in this auditorium tonight, and for every person who hears this voice, we pray that each individual will be able to see that God's love is so great, and the purpose and plan of God is so wonderful, and that each person has the responsibility of knowing that purpose and that plan. For those who have never yet accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, God's plan for them is to be saved. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. It's Your will, Your plan, for these individuals to see and understand and to accept Your plan for their lives. For those who've not yet accepted You, help them to see. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on His name. We're thankful that the way of salvation is through Jesus Christ, because He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by Me. This reveals to us very vividly that there's only one way of salvation. It's by faith alone, in Christ alone. We pray that there will be those at this very moment who will trust You. And we thank You over and over again that You're in the saving business and that You will save anyone who will trust You. We thank You for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Open my lips, I will sing Your praise forever. Open my lips, O Lord, I will sing. Sing Your praise. My soul thirsts for you, and my flesh yearns for you. In a dry and weary land, where there is no water, I remember you at night, through the watches of the night. In the shadow of your wings, I sing because you help me.